Our scripture lesson this morning is from Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. We will read verses 1 through 12, and you will find it in the Pew Bible, page 1047, if you would like to follow along. If you're able, would you please stand for the reading of the Gospel? Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Holy God, what a joy and privilege it is for us to be here in your presence, especially on this Easter day, as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, O Lord, to take off the tinted glasses of our hearts and our minds so that we can see you clearly as we hear your words read and proclaimed. May the Holy Spirit whisper to us in our ears, in our hearts, and help us to hear what we need to hear today. We thank you for ministering to us right here, right now. We pray all this in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is risen. Amen. A 5-year-old boy whose father is the town's undertaker was perplexed after hearing the story of Jesus' resurrection in the Sunday school. So he asked his teacher, "Do you mean Jesus really rose from the dead?" "Yes, Jesus really rose from the dead," the Sunday school teacher said. Shaking his head in wonder, the boy said, "Well, then I know my daddy didn't take care of him because his people never get up again." Early on Easter Sunday morning, the women came to the tomb where Jesus was buried. These women weren't expecting to find anything new. They had seen death before. They'd been to the tomb many times before and always found the same thing. The dead body is exactly where you leave them, and the tomb is always cold and lifeless. So that's why they came with spices that morning You didn't bring those along unless you were expecting to find dead body in the tomb. The Jewish burial rites at the time meant anointing the body with spices to hasten the decomposition and also to cut down on the smell. Then a year later, they would come back to the tomb after the body has all decomposed away, and then they will gather the bones, put them in a box called ossuary, and then put the box in a niche in the back of the tomb. That morning, they came to anoint the body of the one whom they had hoped would bring new life to a world desperately looking for it. When Jesus of Nazareth had been with them, they felt like anything was possible. They had seen people healed from disease. They seen demons cast out with the word, and had even seen the dead come back to life. Anything, everything, it seemed possible with Jesus. They heard him talk about the kingdom of God, which sounded to them like a whole new world, with a different kind of life than the one they were used to. A world where the first became last, and the last first. A world where violence and pain are no more. A world where the brokenness and sins of the past are forgiven. And where everything is made new. But this was not some distant world. In fact, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right here. That this seemingly different world was already here and breaking in among them in his own life and ministry. That life, however, had been cut short, and now Jesus was dead. The women had come to care for the body of Jesus. They were certain that they would find Jesus' body in the tomb. They would prepare the body, and they would go back to their lives, that they would go back to their old world. When they arrived with spices in hand, however, they found that the stone covering the tomb had been rolled away. The lifeless body they expected to find inside was also gone. Instead, there were two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. They were so startled, they fell to the ground. Why do you look for the living among the dead? They said. He is not here. He is risen. They had come expecting to find the same old thing, the dead among the dead, and found something new, something different, something amazing, something incredible. Now here's the issue. See, it would have been so much nicer and easier if God waited until the women came to the tomb and then raised him from the dead. See, resurrection happens without any eyewitnesses. And on that first Easter morning, there were only the empty tomb and the angelic messengers to tell these women that Jesus is risen. See, this makes the resurrection an incredible event, not just in the popular sense of spectacular or awesome, but also in the sense of not credible or unbelievable. The scriptures tell us that this truth that Jesus rose from the dead was not comprehended. The women at the tomb were perplexed and even frightened. The women tried to describe to the disciples what they had heard and seen. And their report is received as nonsense. The 11 disciples and others who were there, when they heard the description of the women, they thought that they were telling an idle tale or that it was nonsense. It must have been so early in the morning that you must have seen something. It does sound like nonsense, doesn't it? If you were there, and some of these ladies come running in and telling you all this story, how would you respond? How would you receive it? Later that day, if you continue reading chapter 24 of the Gospel of Luke, disciples are gathered in a room talking about this thing that just happened. Did you hear? What? Jesus, what? His body's gone. And Mary said she heard these two guys who were there saying that he's risen. He's risen. What does that mean? And as they are discussing, Jesus appeared in the midst of them. And again, we are told they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. What are you doing? What's going on? Who are you? It's a ghost. Every post-resurrection story in all Gospels have the same responses of the disciples or of anyone come in contact with this news and Jesus being startled, terrified, and not understanding. We too find ourselves not fully comprehending and perplexed. And it does sound like nonsense. It doesn't make sense. It is because we can only make sense of new facts by fitting them into the old frame of reference that we have. And when our new experiences fit into this frame of reference that we have, then it's easier for us to understand and make sense. But when this new experience does not fit into our old frame of reference, then we struggle and we are perplexed. And it's very difficult for us to understand. And there has not been a precedence of this kind of thing ever happening. They clearly saw Jesus hanging on the cross. They clearly saw Jesus die 3 days ago. Jesus is suffering, giving his life, death, and resurrection. All of this just didn't make sense. See, empty tomb is a sign of life, they say. But more than that, when believers embrace the resurrection and espouse this new reality in their everyday life, that is truly the signs of life in the world. The embracing of the resurrection and this new reality presents to us a different experience that requires a new frame of reference, a new paradigm, a new ways of looking at it, the new ways of thinking in order for us to receive and begin to make sense. The empty tomb is a new understanding, a new experience, and cannot be compared to other experiences that we have known in our lifetime. If we want to understand the resurrection, if we want to know the meaning of the empty tomb, then we need a new frame of reference. We've never done it that way before, or sticking with the old way. All thought is no longer a viable option. So how are we to get past our doubt and our disbelief of Jesus' resurrection? See, Peter, when he heard the women come back and tell them what they had seen and heard, he ran to the tomb. He looked in the empty tomb himself. And Luke tells us he left, still perplexed, wondering to himself what had happened. If we let go of our certainty, our worldview, our understanding, how we see the world, how we try and figure out the world rationally, if we just set that aside, then we might just see a world that is offering us abundant, life-giving riches. We need to let go of our way of thinking that if it's not touchable, if it is not seen, if it cannot be proven, then it is not real. But begin to see things through God's perspective, through eyes of faith, then we are enabled to see different things. I think most of us understand that the important things in life are not really the things that we touch, that we can see, or we can point to. In the world seen through God's eyes in faith, the Spirit moves all around us. People experience love, forgiveness, surprise, change, growth, and comfort. All realities which frequently defy reason and cannot be proven scientifically. In the world seen through eyes of faith, water not only cleanses and refreshes, but water also transforms us. In the world seen through spiritual perspective, a morsel of bread and a sip of wine offer life-altering nourishments. In the world seen through God's eyes, everyone around us become our sisters, our brothers, created in God's image and one in the Spirit. And most surprisingly, in the world seen through the eyes of faith, one gains life by losing it. None of these experiences are discerned rationally. When we let go of our control and certainty and open our eyes and ears and hearts and imaginations through God, when we turn our way of perceiving over to God and look at the world through God's eyes, then even death, the certain end of our existence, is no longer that. But it means a passage into a life everlasting. The empty tomb still stands before us. Rationally, we look inside and see nothing. The world is as it seems. But seen through our faith eyes, the empty tomb radiates with risen Christ. God has declared it. The ordinary is not what it seems. To a rational mind, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus is nonsense. But to those who believe, it is the life-giving, life-changing, and life-sustaining truth. It is the signs of life. Alleluia, Christ is risen. And Christ is risen indeed. Easter is about signs of life as we live the new reality of the resurrected Christ by changing our frame of reference from the expected to the incredible. May we all be the signs of life in the world, living the resurrection in our lives. Amen.